Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. And aren't you thankful for our praise team this morning? Aren't you thankful for them and their willingness to serve and to help us this morning? Thank you guys very much. If your Bible's with you, I want to invite you this morning to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Last week we began a new series called The Main Connection, and we are talking about the main connection through Jesus Christ and what the Lord does, what Jesus does to bring us close to Him and close to His presence. And what we know and what we understand is that we are separated from God because of our sin. But in Jesus, He, through His shed blood, He connects us back to God. He connects us to the main source. And so what we're learning about in preparation for Easter is that Jesus, the reason He died for us on the cross, is to repair us and to bring us back to Him. Ephesians chapter 2, I want us to start reading this morning in verse 11. Follow along in your sermon notes, if you would, or in your Bible or on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11, the Bible says this: "So then remember that at one time, you who were Gentiles in the flesh, called them circumcised by those called the circumcised, done by hand in the flesh. At that time, you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, with no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In His flesh, He did away with the law of the commandments and regulations, so that He might create in Himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. When Christ came, He proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is being fitted together in Him and is growing into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, whom you also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit." Lord, we thank You for the Word today, and may You bless it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need You today to help me to teach it and preach it faithfully. And God, we pray today that we would understand the hope that is in You, Jesus, the hope that of being brought near to God. We love You, and may You bless the Word. We pray in Your name. Amen. Now, what we just read, some of you all might be thinking today, that was a mouthful. Amen. Anybody with me on that? And you might be thinking today, what in the world did he just read? Well, let me break it down and help you a little bit today. We're reading from the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul to a church in a city called Ephesus. And that's why it's called the book of Ephesians, because it was to a church in the city of Ephesus. And what Paul and who Paul is writing to is to a group of non-Jews, which we call Gentiles, all right? Any Gentiles in the house today, all right? If you are not an ethnic Jew this morning, you would be considered a Gentile. So let me ask that question again. Any Gentiles in the house today? Okay. So he's writing to people like you. He's writing to people that did not grow up under Judaism, that didn't know anything about the Old Testament, but somebody had come along, taught them a little bit about the Old Testament, and now they've come along and taught them about Jesus. And they have believed in Jesus and trusted in Jesus, and they are Christians, but Christians that did not grow up with a Judaism background. And he's writing to these guys, and he's telling them about the great blessings that are in Jesus, and how even though they were far away from God, because of the cross of Jesus, they've been brought close to God. One thing I think that's great about the main connection, that when you trust in Jesus and you trust in the Lord and His shed blood and what He did on the cross for our sins, one thing I think that's really great, one of the most wonderful things is this, is that when you trust in Jesus, you're brought near to God. You're no longer on the outside. You're not disconnected. You're not on the sidelines. You know, anytime you get that feeling of disconnect, it's not a good feeling. When something is supposed to be going one way and it goes the other, it's uncomfortable, it's not right. Or when you're part of something, but yet it's just not working. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not from my very muscular, athletic physique that is before you this morning. But I played football, peewee Pop Warner football. I think that's what it's called, right? And I don't want to disillusion you this morning, but I wasn't very good, okay? And when I was on that little football team over there at that park by y'all's house, Jason, what's that? Yeah, it's that park over there. We played football over there at Shively Park. Thank you. I played football over there, and Mike and Donna's son, Jeff, I played with him. And Jeff was on the A team. I was on what was called the B team. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever been on a B team before? Yeah, those that are brave enough to admit, right? Let me tell you something about B team. This is what B team is. B team is you paid money to get into the league, and you need to stand somewhere, okay? That's what B team is. And I'm not trying to crush anybody's hearts or spirits, but that was at least my experience with B team, okay? And I sat on the sidelines. And here's the deal. I had a jersey. I had a helmet. I had a team logo and all of that fun stuff. But in all reality, I was on the sidelines. I was not part of the team. I was disconnected. Yeah, sure enough, I got a trophy at the end of the year, but so did everybody else. And I really wasn't connected. And needless to say, I know this is hard, again, for you to wrap your brain around. I didn't stay with football, okay? I didn't stay with it. It just wasn't my bag, all right? But I was disconnected. And yet it was interesting because I was watching from the sidelines. You know, my team won that year. But I didn't do anything that year. I really didn't. I watched them. I observed them. I knew what was going on. And I was so close, but I was also so far, wasn't I? Now, you see, you're getting a little bit of a picture of how these guys felt, the Ephesians. You know, they had heard about God and they had learned about God, but they didn't grow up with God. Anybody relate to that this morning? They didn't grow up with the Lord. And they grew up hearing about the Old Testament, hearing about the laws, hearing about all of this stuff, kind of wearing the jersey, but on the sidelines, not participating. And they felt so far from God. I mean, can you blame them? The Jews themselves in the Old Testament, they felt far from God. I mean, before they could worship God, they had to bring a sheep or a lamb all the way up to Jerusalem. They had to hike up this big hill. They had to take this lamb to be slaughtered at the temple. And even they could only go so far into the temple before the priests had to take over. And then when the priests went into the temple, there was this big curtain. And behind that curtain was something called, do y'all remember what was called? The Holy of Holies. A very precious place in the Old Testament system. And not just anybody could go in the Holy of Holies. I mean, only the priest could. And that was after he offered sacrifice for himself. And it was a big deal. So even the Jews themselves had this big disconnect. Before they could worship God, they had to do all these sacrifices, go all the way to Jerusalem. So now imagine if you're a Gentile, a non-Jew. Hey, you're really, really far from God. You didn't grow up with the Old Testament. You didn't grow up hearing about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You didn't hear about any of this stuff. And now you're wanting to serve God. But even when you're a Jew, you feel far from God. So imagine what you feel like when you're a non-Jew. You're a Gentile. And if you want to serve the God of the Jews, this is the God of the universe, you are really, really in a rock and a hard spot. I got a picture, Christian, of a temple. Do you see that? Throw that up there real quick if you can. Now listen, I'm not going to bore you with pictures of the temple. But that's where they came to worship at. The Jews would come up and they would go through those gates and they would walk through those areas only to go so far before they had to hand it over to the priest for their sins. Now y'all see that place? I don't know if you can or not. It says the court of Gentiles. Y'all see that? If you were a Gentile that wanted to worship the true God, you had to go through those gates, stand in that court, and that's as far as you could go. The Jews could go a little bit further. But if you were a Gentile, that's as far as you could go. And there would be a sign hanging up. And I don't know if you've seen it up. There's a wall that surrounds the actual temple itself. And there would, and they say historically it was there. That if you're a Gentile, you come any further, death awaits you against the law. The Jews themselves were scared to death to go into the temple. So let alone if you were a Gentile, you stood on the outside. You got so close, but yet you were so far. And that wall, they called it the wall of hostility. Because the Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along. The Jews didn't want to intermingle with the Gentiles. Therefore, the Gentiles didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. One God for everybody. And there would be divisions there. But when Jesus came, something really awesome happened. When Jesus came, the old way of doing stuff was gone. And there was a new way that happened. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that that curtain that was hanging in that temple, what happened? Somebody remind me. What happened when Jesus died? Tore right down the middle. You know what that meant? That meant you didn't need a priest to go into the Holy of Holies for you anymore. Jesus was the priest who went into the Holy of Holies, and now you have direct access to God because of Jesus. You don't need a lamb. You don't need a bull. You don't need to go on top of the temple. And by the way, to this day, if you were to go to Israel, that temple got destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. It's smashed. It's gone. Right now, where that inner sanctuary was, where the Holy of Holies, there's a Muslim mosque sitting right on top of it right now called the Dome of the Rock. That's where the Holy of Holies is right now. One day, that's probably going to be rebuilt. When you read the end times, that's going to be rebuilt. But right now, there's no temple up there. There's just the Western Wall that's halfway there, and that's it. That's it. It's smashed. But you know what? I hope they get their temple back, but here's the deal. You don't need it this morning. If you have Jesus in your heart, you don't need the temple anymore. You have direct access to God. And what's really cool is it's talking about the Gentiles, and it says that this wall of hostility is broken down. Did you see that when we read that? Gee, does that make sense now? Does it make sense that there is no longer Jew or Gentile before God? It's just the children of God? It's just those that believe in Jesus? Aren't you glad we're living in the New Covenant or the New Testament era instead of the Old Testament? God was doing so much and so much good stuff in the Old Testament, but He was preparing the people of Israel to show them His holiness. He selected Israel to show Israel its laws and its standards. But yet it was through Jesus that the world was saved, past and present. People in the Old Testament had to have faith that Jesus was coming. Now we look back that Jesus has come and that He can save us. It's all about Jesus Christ today. But here's what I know. Those Gentiles felt like outsiders. But the reality is, if you don't have Jesus in your life today, you're still an outsider. If you have your blanks, just look real quick. What we just read in the first few verses of chapter 2 and 11 and 12 and 13, this is how you're described. It says that you, if without Christ, are excluded, you're a stranger, you're without hope, you're without God. Now, some of us today, we feel that way, don't we? Kenny, I didn't grow up in the church. I mean, I come in here and I feel like a stranger. I mean, you're singing songs that I don't listen to on the radio. I mean, you know, everybody, people raising their hands or closing their eyes. And what are they doing? You know, you come in here, people's got these big mamma jamma gun-slinging Bibles with them. You know, they're walking in and you know, what? This is weird. This is strange. I feel like an outsider. I feel like I don't belong. By the way, this is a freebie for you. You don't have to pay for this one. All right, this is a freebie for you. All right, it's not my notes. It's just for you. All right, you ready? I'm just teasing. You ready? We set out to start Life Community Church for those on the outside. This church was set out from the very beginnings to reach those that were far from God, those that didn't fit in anywhere else. Can I just be honest with you? This is a B-team church, guys. This is a B-team church. It is. We may never be fancy. We may never have a lot. We're a B-team church. But here's what I know. B-team people need Jesus too. B team people need Jesus. People that's got heartache and hurt and troubles in their life and heartache and just sin and stuff that they've gone wrong with. That's what we're trying to do in this church. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from, who you are. You ready? This is who this church is for today. We're kind of a B-team bunch around here. And Nathan, for softball time, yeah, we're B-team. But by the grace of God, right? But here's what I know today, is that even though we're on the outside sometimes looking in, and we feel like those Ephesians where we're excluded, we don't know what we're doing. We don't have the right words. We don't have the right language. We don't feel like we're part of the in crowd. We're not the religious bunch, so to speak. Is there any hope? Because the Bible says without the Lord, there's no hope. It said that you're excluded. You're a stranger. Now, here's the deal. The Ephesians would have stayed excluded. They would have stayed strangers. They would have stayed without hope and without God if they didn't come to Jesus. They would have stayed that way. Likewise today, if you don't come to Christ, if you don't give your life to Jesus, there's no hope for you. There's no hope according to the Bible. There's no hope. This is why Jesus had to die for us. So you could have hope. So you could be brought in to what God is doing. So you could be brought in to the main connection of knowing the Lord and having hope in your life. We all need hope this morning. Everybody needs hope. Everybody today needs a reason to get out of bed and to live. And in Jesus Christ, there is hope. In Jesus Christ, there is a reason to live. You are not a stranger. You won't have to be excluded. You can have God in your life. You can have hope if you know Jesus. That's what Easter is all about. Is Jesus coming to bring hope to all of us. So the main connection, how does the main connection bring this hope? If they're without God, they're strangers, they're foreigners, they're excluded from the promises. And what all that meant was is that when they were growing up, they didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the Old Testament. They were the outsiders. So how today do we, on the outside, come into the inside? How do we become something that God wants us to be? How do we discover hope for our lives when we're so distant and so far and could really care less about anything? Real quick, I want to show you how you can have hope in your life. First, if you come to Jesus, you can have peace. Peace brings hope in your life. I can have peace. Look what it says in verse 14. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. Now, did you catch that? Both groups. Who's he talking about? Jews and Gentile. What does it say happens? When Jesus died, he made what? Two groups. One. In Jesus, guess what? There's no Jew or Gentile, black or white, Arabic or Hispanic. We're one family. One family. That's it. We're not American or English or South American or African. We're one family brought together under Jesus. And look, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations. He said all these rules that the Old Testament Jews had to do is over. He fulfilled all of them. He answered all of them in his perfect life. All of those things he did himself so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in what? In peace. Those that know Jesus, whether you are of different colors, whether you are of different ethnicity, whether you are of different side of the tracks or whatever, if you know Jesus, the hostility should be gone. Why? Because you're in the same family. You're in the same family. You're together now. And he did this so that he might reconcile both to God. Did you catch that? He might reconcile both to God. Just because the Jews had the commandments and had the promises didn't mean they were going to heaven. Same way that you today, you could come to church, go to Sunday school, go to life group, come to every service, know all the Bible verses. But if you've not been reconciled with God yourself, you're not saved today. Likewise, those that come to Christ, both groups had to be reconciled. Jews was not a free pass. They had to believe in Jesus as well. And it keeps going. He did this so that both might be reconciled to God in one body. That's the body of Christ through the cross. And put the hostility to death by it. No more fighting, or at least there shouldn't be. When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away. That's the Gentiles. And peace to those who are near. So when Jesus came, he was preaching a gospel to Jew and Gentile both. That both could be saved. That both could know Christ. If they came to him, they could be saved. What a great peace today. Knowing that no matter where you come from, who you are, where you've been, what group you're part of today, the curtain's gone and you could be a new creation. Some today may feel like you didn't come from the right family. The Gentiles felt that all the time. They would listen to, and you got to remember, in the first church, the New Testament was being written. So what did they preach out of all the time? What do you think they preached out of? This ain't rocket science. What do you think they preached out of? Old Testament. So what were they doing? They were reading the Old Testament to these new Christians, getting Jesus out of the Old Testament, the prophecies, explaining the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, can you just imagine you're sitting in the same room with a Jew who was never ever supposed to sit with you as a Gentile, but now you both give your life to Jesus. You're in the same room together, which a normal Jew would not have done, but because you're a Christian, now they're together. And this guy's got the Torah memorized. So they're getting up to preach, reading the Torah, and you just trusted in Jesus. And it's like, man, they're reading King James up in this place. You know what I mean? You don't get it. You felt like an outsider. Some of you today, you may say, man, I just don't get this stuff. I didn't grow up in this way. I didn't know any of this stuff when I was coming to know the Lord. Is there hope for me? And I'm telling you, yes. It doesn't matter how much you knew growing up. It doesn't matter how much you were involved growing up. Because in Jesus, there's peace for anybody who believes. Anybody. Well, Kenny, I have anxiousness in my heart, but I don't have the right credentials. Can I have peace? And the answer is yes. In Jesus, yes. There's peace. That's why somebody could be a Bible scholar, teach seminary, travel to the Holy Land and do tours of the Holy Land, and sit down at the table with a brother who works at a factory here in town that just gave his life to Jesus, and they can have fellowship together because they're on the same team. Isn't that awesome? And there's peace. There's peace. You can have hope in Jesus because of the peace that he puts in your life. No matter where you're from, who you are, you can have peace in your life. Who needs peace this morning over the chaos and the junk that comes into your life? Aren't you glad that you can have peace without having to get a seminary doctorate degree? Yeah, amen. We're all made holy in Jesus. You can have peace today not only because you can all have peace today not only because of the hope in your life, but you can also have a family today. You can have a family. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him we both, check that out. There's the two groupings again. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, to the Jew, that would have floored them. You mean Gentiles get direct access to God? We didn't get direct access to God. We had to go through a priest. And now you're telling me they're in? And Paul's saying, yeah, they're in. They're in. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. This is revolutionary. The Jew would have just dropped his jaw open and said, this is crazy. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. These people, though they grew up knowing nothing, they're not strangers anymore. They're part of something big. They're not isolated. They're not second class. They're not B team. They're brought in to the fold. And they're made part of a family with their African brothers, their Egyptian brothers, their Saudi Arabian brothers, their English brothers, their Canadian brothers, their South American brothers and sisters. One family. And even though they didn't know anything about the prophets, anything about any of that, now they stand on the prophets and the apostles with Jesus holding them together. Isn't it great today when we have nowhere else to stand because we're so weak in life, we can always stand on Jesus. And because of that, you have a family, a great family. Why is church important? Some of you all think, man, organized religion, it just seems like a joke, blah, 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 blah. Dude, you don't get it. You don't get it. We don't organize to create some sort of system to get money or anything. That's not what we're doing, at least. We do this because we're part of a God-sized family. That's why. And here's the deal. We need each other. We need each other. This morning, when my little Hopi was kind of doing her thing all over the house this morning, you know, and my wife and I made the decision that you got to stay home today. You know what? We start blowing up everybody's face or everybody's text messages at 6 o'clock in the morning. And here they are. They came to serve. Why? Because we're family. That's why in our life group meets on Thursday nights. And it's good. We have a good time. We talked about last Thursday night, Jesus in the boat with the disciples. And it was a good time. And just sharing real stuff. We need each other. You need the church. It ain't about creating a system. Golly, look at our system. It's pretty funky if this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a place for family. And in Jesus, we're put together as a family. Here's what's cool. You'll be having family with people that's known the Lord for 50 years, literally, and others that just came to know the Lord. And we're in it together. Isn't that awesome? You can also have hope in your life because you can have a purpose. You can have a purpose. We wrap it up in verse 21. It says, the whole building being put together by Him grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. So both Jew and Gentile who gives their life to Jesus are now being put together. And they're growing to the Lord. Now listen to this. You are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Now remember where the Jew had to go worship at? Remind me, where did he have to go worship at? At the what? The temple. He had to go to that temple to worship. And that's where they said God's presence was. But yet something's different now. Now all of those people, Jew and Gentile, are together in God's family. And the Lord is building them together into what? A temple. And now, where does God's presence dwell? Where does it dwell? Does it dwell in some hill on top of, on the mountaintop in Jerusalem? Is that where God's presence dwells? It dwells in us. His power lives inside of us, Jew and Gentile, those that know Jesus. You ready for this? Look around. It may not be the prettiest temple you'll ever see, but this is the temple of God. This is the temple of God, when the Spirit lives inside of us. And notice how we're being built together and growing. Now, do you think the Lord is building us together, putting us together, letting His Spirit dwell in us, just for us to sit in that chair, twiddle our thumbs, waiting to go to heaven? No. You are part of something huge, something big. And you have purpose in your life. You have purpose in your life. You have a ministry to do. You have discipleship to learn and grow. You worship God in this setting. You fellowship with each other. You evangelize. You tell people about Jesus. That's your purpose in life. And God is using you. What I love about Jesus is that there's hope in Jesus. When He brings us to the main connection, we understand that there's hope. There's peace and family and purpose. There's hope for your life. Even though you're on the B team, not anymore. In Jesus, you are brought so close to God. In Jesus, you are brought so near to the Lord. I want you to go back to verse 11. It may not be on the screen, but it's in your notes. Look at the very first thing. Notice how Paul starts this off. So then, what? Remember. He told these believers not to forget where they came from, who they were, but definitely not to forget who they were becoming. Some of us today need to remember this, that as Christians, we cannot forget where we came from. The stuff God saved us out of, the mistakes He's forgiven. Because we won't appreciate grace until we know how much grace He's given us. He tells us to remember. But He also wants us to remember that we're not alone. That we're not second-class citizens. We're not on the sidelines if we have Jesus. And let me remind you one more time why. Why you have hope. The answer is in verse 13. That's the crutch of this entire passage. It hinges the beginning to the end. And look what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away. Anybody in this room remember when you were far away from God? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away, you ready? With all your junk, all your baggage, all your mistakes, all your nasty stuff, skeletons in the closet, all of that stuff that kept you so far away from God. But now in Christ Jesus, all y'all that were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. When He died and shed that blood, He brought you close to God. And I'm telling you something. The best place to be is in the arms of Jesus. Because He'll keep you close to the Father's heart. Hugging you and loving you and never letting go. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of times in my life that I need an embrace. That I need somebody to wrap their arms around me. And what I know that in Jesus, I'm right there next to the heart of God. God will never hold me. God will never love me like that. Yes, He will. And He does. Oh, can you don't know. You don't know the stuff I've done. God's not going to want to hold me close to His chest. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. He died to reclaim you. He died to hold you. But here's the deal. Before you get this, you've got to come to this. When He opens His arms up to everybody, you've got to just come into His arms. And then He'll hold you. Today, Jesus is standing here ready for you to come to Him. But you've got to make the choice whether or not you'll come to Him. He's waiting today for you to respond to His invitation. And by the way, He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. You know that, right? So guess what? That tells me He wins. And you ready for this? When you give your life to Jesus, you're not on the B team anymore. You're on the winning team. Yeah, pray with me. Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus. And God, today, if there's anyone here today that does not know You, I pray today that they will discover faith in Christ. Lord, that they won't wait, that they won't hesitate, but they'll come to the winning side. Jesus, I just praise You for being so good to us. And Lord, thank You that though we didn't grow up, God, not all of us grew up with Jesus and church, it doesn't matter, that You welcome us just as we are. So, Father, come today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, I want to ask you today, with no one looking around and no one's going to call you out or point you out, but maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus. And you say, Kenny, I'm far from God this morning. But I want Jesus in my heart. I want to be held close to the heart of God today. I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never asked the Lord to come into my life. But in preparation for Easter, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, and again, I don't embarrass anybody or come to them or point them out or anything like that. That's not what I do. But it's important for you to acknowledge your need in your spirit. Just real quick, would you say, Kenny, would you pray for me because I need Jesus in my life? Would you just slip that hand up real quick? If that's you today. God bless you. Anybody else today? God bless you. Thank you. If today you raise your hand and you say, Kenny, I need Christ in my life to save me for the very first time, I'm going to invite you to pray a very simple prayer with me. It's not magic words or hocus pocus or anything like that. It's just believing that Jesus died for you. Pray this prayer in your own words right now. It goes like this. Dear Father, I am a sinner. I'm far from you. But I thank you for Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for dying for my sin. Come into my life and save me. I pray in your name. Amen. Y'all can all look right here. Here in a moment, our praise team is going to sing for us, and we're going to worship God. If you prayed to ask Jesus into your life today for the very first time, I want to encourage you and challenge you, while they're singing, to step out of that seat and just come tell me. It's important to make it public. The Bible says if you confess me before angels, I'll confess you before heaven. Or if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before angels. Others today may just want to come to the cross and just say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Anybody glad today you're saved? You're brought near? Anybody glad you're brought near? I'm glad. We're going to praise the Lord as you stand and as we sing. If you pray today to ask Christ in your life, be the first one to come as we celebrate God's grace. Thank you.